Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce 4 uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get started, we have a special performance. Ian Crossland in the Orbit Gum commercial from 2007. I hope you all enjoy it.
See you later, man.
I'm having noodles.
Dirty mouth? Clean it up with new Orbit Fabulous Frutini and Sangria Fresca. Fabulous for a good clean feeling, no matter what.
There it is. Ian Crossland cutting his nose hairs in an Orbit Super Bowl commercial.
Look how stable those eyes are in that shot.
What happened?
Those guys, directed by the Pelorian brothers. Those guys rock.
Look at this picture.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
What happened, Ian? You were on the path to celebrity, fame, and fortune in Hollywood.
I got fucking red pilled is what happened. I learned about the Federal Reserve and the military industrial complex, and I realized my life is, some things are more important than money and fame, but I still wanted to utilize the fame somehow. But man, did I go into a spiraling depression in that period of my life, because my whole life I'd geared myself towards this career.
Just think, you
so
could
what
have been
year
Thor.
Was that?
That was 2007. I started making YouTube videos in 2006, and it was the people started commenting on my videos like, do you even know what the Federal Reserve is? Do you even know what fractional reserve banking is? I'm like, I've never heard
they
these words
insane.
Before. I don't even.
Ian, if you could have been Thor.
Could have been. I had a management from Warner or CBS had me for a while, and I was just making YouTube videos about my crazy life and how high I was. And they were like, Ian, stop making YouTube videos. I was like, you found me through my YouTube videos. And they're like, yeah, but we want to control you now. I'm like, nah, peace, Hollywood.
Let's talk about some dark stuff. Mm-hmm. So, Nick, you directed Gosnell. How about this? We'll have you explain who Gosnell is, and then we'll have Seamus explain who Gosnell is.
Yes. Yeah. Dr. Kermit Gosnell ran a women's clinic in Philadelphia, and for about 19 years, his clinic was never inspected, and he developed a way of doing, of performing abortions, which consisted of giving the women labor-inducing drugs, which then caused the baby to be born alive, and he would then take a pair of scissors and snip the spinal cord of the baby and kill it after it was born. And this went on for years and years and years until finally it was discovered that he was doing this, I believe, in 2013, and he was convicted. Well, they discovered it in 2011, I think. He was convicted in 2013.
Yeah, I mean, he's a serial killer. And that's true of abortion doctors, generally speaking. But he was inducing labor. As you said, he was killing them after they were already born. Part of why it's such an important story is because I think it really gets people to think about what abortion is and ask themselves the question, well, I think that this man's a monster for killing the infant a moment after it comes out. What about people who regularly kill this infant while it is still inside of the mother's womb?
So this guy, Gosnell, he was not performing abortions. He was legitimately killing babies. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting philosophical question, because if the women were pregnant and he induced abortion, or he induced labor, what's the difference between that and an abortion? Just the fact that the baby is positioned outside of the woman's body as he murders, as he kills it?
Yeah.
So it's not just that. He was storing body parts in his, in the building. I mean, this is, if I told you the story, here's a man who takes living human beings, kills them, and then stores their body parts in their home, you'd be like, who the
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Fuck.
That's what
yeah.
I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you're like, well, technically it was because women were trying to terminate their pregnancies, what's the difference?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to direct the movie. When they offered it to me and I read the script, there was a great scene, I think taken primarily from court transcripts, of where they talk to a legal abortion doctor and have her go through all the steps they do to make a legitimate abortion. And when I read that, I was just like, I had no idea that that's what they did. And that's what made me, I said, people talk about the abortion issue without knowing what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do, is put that on screen. So it's like, and I, a lot of people see that scene and go, I didn't know that's what they did.
If the baby is still connected to the mother by the umbilical cord, is that why he was thinking like it's still not really breathing air? It's not taking, it's not a complete life yet, because it's...
He was not someone concerned with morality. He was just slaughtering infants for profit.
Right. Is that why he was storing the body parts, was to sell them?
In the movie, it was because he had had a dispute with his medical waste company. It's really, he was a very cheap, he was a shyster in a lot of ways. He was very much concerned with and he was having a financial dispute with his medical waste company, so he was just storing the bags.
Wikipedia is typically left leaning, right? It's very left biased.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just ask you guys, how do you think Wikipedia describes Gosnell? Did they describe him as an abortion provider?
I already took a look. So
yeah, I don't answer. Yeah. I got to concede. I already saw.
No, probably not. They wouldn't let us call him an abortion doctor in any of the ads that we ran for Gosnell.
Really?
They wouldn't. We had to say doctor. They wouldn't let us say abortion.
Well,
doctor.
Wow. Wikipedia says he's an American former physician and serial killer. Oof. Wow. And the reason they do that is because they are left biased.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want people to know that what he was actually doing was abortions.
Mm-hmm. He's just doing them a few minutes too late, really. I mean,
isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, and that's kind of what that scene in the movie is about. It's like I play Gosnell's attorney, and at the end of the scene where she takes us through the whole process, they inject poison into the fetus. While it's still inside, they make an incision in the back of the neck. They put a vacuum in there and suck the brains out because the head's too big to come out of the canal. And at the end of her describing all this, it's like he says, well, I don't see what the difference is. You know?
Wow. The judge said that, or?
The attorney. Then, you know, objection, calls for a conclusion, you know, that kind of thing. You know?
This goes
what
on.
Is the difference?
Yeah.
Oh. If it's
there's
in
no
the
moral
woman.
Difference. Yeah, you're slaughtering a baby. You're killing a child.
This goes on Wikipedia. Gosnell was convicted of the murders of three infants who were born alive after botched abortion attempts, and then was convicted and so on. So you're doing the movie, is that exactly what you found?
That's a lie. It was not a botched abortion attempt.
What was it?
That was the procedure that he had developed. He did all the abortions that way. If they were at a certain point. You know, and he also did very, very late term abortions way past what the legal limit was. And to do an abortion on a baby like that, it's very difficult to do if you try to do it inside the womb.
Him, he was probably like, I'm going to make sure I don't hurt the woman.
For him, it's I'm trying to make money, because this whole argument that abortion is about women's health goes out the window with a case like this, because this man literally cared nothing for their health and safety. He didn't follow any of the health regulations. The conditions they were in and that he was performing these procedures in were absolutely disgusting. And of course, procedures euphemism for murder, but he was treating white and black women in different facilities.
He was charging between $1,600 and $3,000 for late term abortions, and he was making $10,000 to $15,000 per day.
Oh, and he was the only one that would do it.
Yeah, because it was illegal.
Yeah. And he also was convicted of manslaughter, too. He killed one woman.
Yeah, that went on. Was convicted of manslaughter in connection with the death of one woman during an abortion procedure.
Yeah.
And was convicted of several other medically related crimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the intro.
Abuse of,
A corpse.
Abuse of body
Man,
parts.
Man, he's still alive, too.
He was taking, when he was having the dispute with the medical waste company, this is really, he was taking body parts back to his beach house and putting them in crab pots.
Oh, my gosh.
To catch crabs.
Wow.
And they found body parts in the garbage disposal. He was flushing them down the drain. It's really, really
treating it like chicken meat.
Yeah,
it's
disgusting. Meat grinder.
Yeah. Disgusting. Disgusting. Wow.
How is this not the biggest story of the decade?
Because it's about abortion and they don't want you to ask that question. They don't want you to ask that question. What is the real substantive difference between murdering that infant prior to them being outside of their mother's womb and immediately after? They don't want you to ask that question.
Do you see that video of the Virginia legislator talking to the council member and she's like, my bill would allow abortion up to the point of birth?
Mm-hmm.
And the judge is like, what? Did you see that, Ian?
I didn't see the actual video.
So the judge, it's like a council member or a judge or something, and he's like, so a woman is in labor and the baby is breaching, and she's like, my bill does not specify up to the point of birth abortion is allowed. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, the baby is coming out of the mother, and you're like, better quick kill it.
Get it.
Otherwise, we'll get in trouble.
Let me take you guys on a little fantasy detour here. What if the babies were neural netted from the moment of inception?
What?
You think that would bring humanity to the fetus? If we could see their thought process early on in the creation?
I think it's irrelevant. I think thought process doesn't make someone a person.
Well, sometimes seeing the ultrasound can get the woman to be like, yeah, I want to keep
you, it. You telling me I am or am not a person is irrelevant to whether or not I have rights and I'm a person.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just for cultural enforcement.
I just think it's irrelevant. I think that's actually a dangerous path, and it would be a detriment because it's attempting to justify when someone is considered alive based on personal or subjective parameters.
So, also, you did the documentary, you know more about this. Would you describe the racist practices that have been discussed here?
Well, he had, separate, waiting rooms for black women and white women. And the white women's room was much nicer and, you know, well kept. And the black women's waiting room was, just like a room that he didn't clean very often or whatever. And when one of the nurses asked him about it, he said, well, that's just the way the world is, honey. Mm-hmm. White women won't come here, you know, and black women are used to this.
Yeah. Wow. So I was actually incorrect. He was not performing them in different facilities. He had different waiting rooms.
Yeah, different
waiting rooms. But nonetheless, if you had a dentist who was caught using different waiting rooms for people on the basis of their race, that would be a front page story. Everyone in the country would be talking about it for days. It would be used as an example of why we're in a white supremacist country. That story would be on our radar for years and years. But because this guy was slaughtering infants and because the media doesn't want you to think there's anything wrong with that, he was never brought up.
And he's also black.
Yes,
Kermit
yes, he's black.
Black himself.
His prosecutor said it was like racist to try to, or I'm sorry, not his prosecutor, his defense attorney was arguing it would be racist to prosecute him and elitist.
The LA Times, the Atlantic Slate, and Time all published opinion columns where the writer thought the incident was not getting as much media coverage as deserved. Mm. Megan McArdle explains she didn't cover it because it made her ill. But also how being pro-choice influenced writers saying most of us tend to be less interested in sick-making stories if the sick-making was done by our side, saying the story should have been covered much more than it was, covered as a national policy issue, not a local crime story.
Yes.
Martin Barron, the Post executive editor, claims Amen. He wasn't aware of the story until Thursday, 11th of April, when readers began emailing him about it, saying, I wish I could be conscience to all the stories out there. You know what? Fuck these people. Mm. They don't pay attention. They don't read the news. And that's why shit like this goes on as long as it does. Mm-hmm. When you go out and you say, hey, what's happening at the Capitol to these people in the prisons is horrifying. They say, fuck you. I don't care. Just watch the video. Fuck you. I don't care. This guy is taking babies and executing them. Fuck you. I don't care. That's what they're saying every time. If these people paid attention for 2 seconds, serial killers like Gosnell would have been stopped a long time ago. This is beyond. You want to have an argument about abortion? We'll have an argument about abortion. This is a guy who is taking babies who are outside of the womb delivered and killing them. If we have a zombie horde in this country that won't listen and won't pay attention, and they allow monsters like this to get away with it, and when they get caught, the media says, whoopsie.
Mm-hmm. Not a story. Not important enough to focus on.
And another thing that was going on that allowed this to go on for so long was the political pressure that his clinic was not inspected by the health inspector for 19 years.
Why not?
Because Tom Ridge, he was the governor at the time, said, we don't want to be seen as being anti-women's health. So leave these abortion clinics alone. And so that I mean,
wow.
That right there is what allows it.
So you how need many, to tell me that political...
They would inspect nail salons, but not how many, a women's clinic.
How many babies did he kill? Let's get as political as we can. How many babies were delivered and then killed?
They don't know precisely, but they speculate probably in excess of 1,500.
So this is
over,
and we're talking about babies born.
Yeah, thousands.
Is that the most most people murdered by any single person for a serial killer, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And they say this wasn't big news. They're saying, well, it was a policy issue. We don't want this guy was murdering people. He
was
murdering 1,500 people.
Well, because the woman was basically instigating it, I think that's why. That's why it isn't being treated like murder, like basic murder.
Dude, if a hitman had 1,500 yep. contracts from wives and killed all their husbands, he would be the most prolific serial killer. He'd be all over the news. They'd call him the Dark Widow.
But
the Black Widower.
Hit contracts aren't legal, but abortions are.
No,
well, those
aren't abortions.
That's a good point.
If there was a hitman, they'd call him the Black Widower. He killed 1,500 husbands
That's
because
crazy.
The women said they wanted this person killed. So here you have basically
the
same fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you where it gets really crazy, and this is something I don't think the left can answer. When it comes to the pro-abortion crowd, I mean overtly they're advocating for abortion, not talking about legalities of libertarian and difficult moral positions, which I understand the pro-life crowd probably doesn't care for anyway. But let's just say this. These people are overtly pro-abortion. Michelle Wolf, or whatever her name is, she comes out on her show and she goes, "You get an abortion, and you get an abortion." Lena Dunham says she wished she had an abortion. What's the difference between a woman who goes into premature labor and gives birth at 7 months and then throws the baby in a dumpster, and a woman who at 7 months says to the doctor, "Kill it"?
Yeah.
There's no difference.
It's a distinction
Zero.
Without a difference.
Yes.
Really.
Right.
Did you find any redeeming quality in Kermit while you were doing this movie?
Well, he's a very accomplished fellow. I mean, he really was. I mean, he's a great piano player. He's like very learned. I mean, you know, he was well educated, very articulate, but he was just soulless. I mean, he had been doing it for so long that he was so conditioned to just doing it like, you know, you're making an omelet or something. He had no feelings about it whatsoever, and he had convinced himself that he was doing a service to these poor women. You know, they come to him because they have nowhere else to go, and I'm going to take care of their lives and give them back their lives by getting rid of this baby.
You know, they say you've got to do a compliment sandwich. You can't just deride someone. So Jeffrey Dahmer, he was a vicious and brutal murderer. But he was an expert chef of human flesh.
Right.
And he was a vicious sociopath. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no redeeming quality is an interesting way to phrase it, because I don't think anything could redeem people
yeah,
like
Yeah, I wondered if he was ever
except
like...
Except Christ.
Exact.
You think Christ could redeem him?
Christ could redeem
yeah.
anyone. There's nothing more powerful than his sacrifice on the cross. So, and if Gosnell fell to his knees, converted, had a relationship with Jesus, submitted to the church, received the sacraments, he would be saved, or could be saved.
But he'd yeah. still rot in prison for the rest of his life or get the death penalty.
Yeah. I mean, look, he has to face the legal penalties he's incurred on the basis of his own actions. Absolutely.
I'm not for the death penalty. I think he should be locked up permanently.
Well, he made a deal that he's
yeah, exactly.
Life without parole.
But I gotta tell you, stories like this make one very, oof. The reason why I'm against the death penalty is not because I oppose killing evil. It's because I don't trust the government to tell me what evil is.
Right.
And so that's why I the easiest way to explain it is Kamala Harris walks up to you and says, "We need to kill that guy right there because he murdered babies." And you're going to be like, "Kamala, I don't believe you."
Right.
I'm not going to kill that man. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing the state could say to me. But I got to tell you, this guy, you know, if I can't tell you what I would do if I walked into this place and I saw a guy with a bunch of baby parts killing babies. I'll tell you this. No, I'll say it outright. If we talked about this morality
question. I was
going
to ask you.
If I walked into a room and I saw this guy holding a baby and about to snip its neck, I'd shoot him in the head.
Yeah, of course.
I would fucking, I'd say freeze, drop it, leave that baby alone.
Well, yeah, exactly. You don't want to go for a kill shot or something, but you want to use force in order to prevent it. And if you have to neutralize the threat, you aim for body.
But when the mom screams, no, don't, how do you care? You just be like, fuck you.
No, what do you mean, no, don't?
She wants it to happen.
Okay, Ian, there is a woman sitting at a table and there's a baby on the table and you walk in and the doctor's got a hammer and he raises it above the baby. And you're holding a gun, and what do you do?
If she's like, no, don't shoot him, Ian.
She doesn't say anything. Well, he's got a hammer. Yeah, he's about to slam it. Yeah,
pretty clear. I'll be like, put down the hammer. Well, I mean,
then she says, no, don't. Let him do it. Yeah. You're going to let him do it?
Well, it gets complicated.
Well, the mom said, let him fucking kill the baby.
We sort of talked about this the other day, but here's another element which is introduced here. If the child has already been born, it can be taken from the mother and put into protective services if she's trying to kill it.
That's a good point. At that point, it's not the mom's responsibility.
We're talking about this guy was killing babies, not abortions. He was taking babies that were alive outside of the womb and then cutting their spinal cords.
So you don't believe in the death penalty? You'd kill him?
Yes.
To prevent, but here's the difference. The death penalty is a punishment, and he's talking about a preventative measure.
Oh, you're trying to stop the crime.
I just said, the reason why I don't support the death penalty is not because I don't believe in killing evil, it's because I don't trust the state.
Oh, so you're actually not making the point I thought you were making.
If you walked in and you saw him standing there with a bloody knife and the dead babies below him, you wouldn't kill him.
I already did the act.
So my point is, you can use...
The goal is to prevent harm to others.
Exactly. You can use force to prevent harm, but to use it after the fact is an entirely different story.
But also...
Vigilantism,
The point about the death penalty is, in the instance, I saw him with that... Like, let's do the Emperor Palpatine scenario. The truly evil emperor, he had control of the courts and he's going to get away with it. If there was a circumstance in which I knew someone was going to cause harm and kill, and the only way to stop it was to kill them, well, then I would. And the best example is probably warfare. I see someone with a gun, and we're in war, they're shooting and killing people, and I see them. In that kind of situation, when you're in a war kind of situation, you decide, if I don't kill him now, he's going to kill my friends, my brother. Like, it's hot conflict. If a person has been subdued or is not a threat actively, then I think they should be subdued and locked up. Mm-hmm. There's a challenge in, I'm not in law enforcement. So any instance in which the state says to me, we should kill somebody, I have to trust the state that they're correct and he did something wrong. Mm-hmm. So as I said, imagine Nancy Pelosi walks up to you, Ian, and she goes, Ian, listen to me. This man you've never met before, he is a dangerous murderer and we need to kill him now. Here's the gun. Shoot him. Would you do it?
No, fuck.
Of course not.
Exactly.
So fuck the death penalty.
Yeah.
But if I saw a guy literally killing babies, I'd be like, stop.
Yeah.
And if he was like, no, I'd be like, that.
I mean, also whether you're for or against the death penalty at a philosophical or theological level, it becomes a question not only of that, but do you trust the specific government under which you live? I think it's thinkable that someone could have the position that in certain scenarios the death penalty could be acceptable, but they would never trust our government with that power.
I think there's something to be said, too, in relation to death penalty, to get more specific, because I'm sure people are wondering. If I walked in and the baby was already dead, as you would ask, I probably wouldn't kill him, and I would call for the police, have them come and take him away. And I'm still not in favor of the death penalty at that point. Lock him in a box, throw away the key.
Without spoiling this movie that you directed, how did the shit hit the fan with this guy?
He was under investigation originally for writing phony prescriptions for OxyContin and selling the prescriptions. And so the police got a search warrant to search his clinic because of this. And when the police went in, they found all the fetuses in the filthy clinic, and they found frozen fetuses in the freezer. They found a whole rack of like little jars where he had clipped off the feet of fetuses and stored them in formaldehyde. And they went back to the district attorney and said, there's some really, really horrible things going on at this clinic and we need to prosecute this man for murder.
And then within like what, a day, within like 2 hours, they were back there or something?
Yeah.
Wow, $2.3 million fundraised to make this movie.
Yeah. It was a big, big fundraising campaign. But the other thing that he was doing too was that he surrounded himself in his clinic not with trained nurses. Everybody else that worked in the clinic were just like neighborhood girls that he taught to administer anesthetics. One girl started working there when she was 15.
That's bad.
And she was the one that sort of gave them the drugs that put them under so that he could perform the abortion.
Did they bust any of the women?
Some of them, yes. Yeah, some of them went to jail. I think there were four of the people that worked in the clinic also served like manslaughter or, you know, some sort of thing. I don't remember right away.
Were there some that had been performing procedures at his behest that they let off because it was just like they're 16 years old, dude?
Right. Yeah, exactly. There was a lot of that. And you know, these since he had nobody around him that could challenge him, that would say to him, this doesn't feel right, you know, and if anybody ever said that, he got rid of them. So it was very, very sinister and unbelievable that it was allowed to go on as long as it was.
What are your personal feelings on abortion? Do you ever talk about those publicly if you do?
Well, I think you would probably characterize me as pro-choice, but it's not pro-choice 100%. I definitely think that abortion is the killing of an innocent life. It's a killing of a human life. I think there's a difference. To me, there's a difference in doing that in the first 2 months of the pregnancy, because I don't think at that time that the fetus will, it's not even a fetus, that it, at that point it causes any pain. At the same time, though, I go back and forth on this because there's no question at conception that this is going to turn into a human life.
It is a human life.
It is, yeah.
Life begins at conception.
Yeah, and so...
But it's, you know, my view is not too dissimilar, but a little bit more in the direction of pro-life. I think abortion, causeless abortion for no reason is wrong.
Yeah.
But I have a governmental, a philosophical question about one body, two lives, and the rights of which and how you confront that. I don't even know how you confront that. There's obvious, like, my view is if a woman chooses to engage in reproductive activities that results in a pregnancy, well, I mean, come on, take responsibility. You have chosen to engage a life form in you. To terminate it now is an action you took. But there's questions of rape when a woman doesn't choose. And there's a question of whether the government has a right to determine a person must give their body to another person or provide their body to another person. That's horrifying to me. But it's shocking to me that I think the science is clear. Mm-hmm. Life begins at conception. From that moment, you have an independent set of DNA separate from the other person.
Right.
It's strange to me that we've had lefties on the show. I think, you know, Vosh said after birth, like, when does life begin? Birth? It's like,
what?
That's crazy.
A better question is when does the humanity appear in the fetus? Like, because I agree with you that it is alive immediately. It's alive, but it's only destined to become a human. It could die in the womb. It may never become a human.
At what point
should we start?
Still, it's human. Well, Ian, your humanity is not something extrinsic, which is imposed upon you later. Humanity is intrinsic to the human. From every moment of existence, a human is a human. There's no point in time at which you are not one.
Ian, if we were to judge whether or not someone was worthy of life or humanity based on their thinking capacity, well, then I'm sorry, Ian,
you're wrong. I'm the smartest.
I'm kidding.
But like, you could have told me that what you just told me. Everyone's a human. Uh-huh. Like, you're always a human. But if you told me that when I was 6 weeks old, I would just hear, and there wouldn't even be a me.
So someone who's 6 weeks old isn't human, and we can kill him.
I believe there is no consciousness at 6 weeks. I don't know. Is there? So, I think there.
I'm talking about a child that is, like, are we talking
after
birth?
No, a baby in the womb after 6 weeks of conception, after conception.
6 weeks after, well, they certainly couldn't hear you and understand you as far as I'm aware, but that is, there's no part of humanity or the rights of a human which are contingent upon them being able to hear and understand you.
Ian, are you familiar with Krang?
Oh yeah, the brain from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, can't survive outside of the machine he's in.
Yeah.
Should he be killed?
Fuck yeah, dude, he's the villain. No. I don't know.
Krang. I'll give you the actual question is, there is a human who a bomb goes off and it blows off the lower portion of the torso, the pelvis, portions of the intestines, side of the face, and they hook the person up to a machine with limited brain capacity, just going, but looking around and like pointing at things. So there's something going on there.
So he's like Biden.
Yeah. Just
this
kill it.
Is a good question, because if someone is on a machine with no brain activity and they're laying there, it's up to the family to kill it.
It
becomes there's no person there anymore.
There's
at
a
that
really
point.
Great story, Ian. You know what locked-in syndrome is?
Locked-in syndrome?
When a person is fully paralyzed and they can only move their eyes.
I've heard of that.
Or not even their eyes.
I heard somebody was in it and his parents played Barney for like 12 years while they thought he was in like a comatose, but he heard it the whole time.
And imagine the
family. He came out later and was like, what did you guys do to me?
And imagine the family being like, kill him. Yep. Imagine this. Ian, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine you're driving your go-kart and going to this, and you get hit by a semi. And you wake up in the hospital and you're looking. And you're looking around, but you can't move anything. And you're thinking to yourself, oh no. What happened? And the doctor looks down and there's, you know, all of us and, you know, there's your significant other and your family. And the doctor goes, the eyes will move as a response to stimuli, but I'm sorry. Ian's gone. There's nothing left. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I'm not dead. And then he goes, I think we should kill him. I think we should pull the plug. And would you be going, yeah, I guess I should die. And then your mom goes, but is there a chance? Is there a chance? Well, look, there is, but it's very, very slim. It's going to be very, very expensive. And I'm telling you, in my professional opinion, he's gone. I think you'd be better off not trying to see if he'd recover and just letting him die. And then your mom goes, well, there is no response. He isn't listening to us. He's basically not there. He has no humanity. Kill him. Imagine that. You would not be happy with that. No person would. You'd be inside your mind screaming internally, unable to do anything, as they're saying, we're now going to kill you.
What's this process called that what they're experiencing?
Locked-in syndrome.
Do they have brain activity during that?
Sometimes they can't discern it. And so there's a famous story where the doctor said the eyes will just move as a response, as a reaction to stimuli. And the limited brain activity suggests this person is brain dead and unable to be
recovered. There's a lot of neurons in the heart and in the stomach. I mean, you aren't just your brain.
And the doctor says, look, Mrs. Crossland, I'm sorry for your loss.
She'd be like, call me Becky.
Becky, I'm sorry for your loss, but you need to understand your son has healthy organs and his death could mean the survival of many more people. Now, there is a possibility he could have survived. He could survive. But we're saying it's a very, very slim chance, and it's best we pull the plug. How much money do they get for organs?
Quite a lot.
Yeah. Do they encourage families to pull the plug?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, look, if it were me and I was laying on a bed and they were like, you know, he's dead, I'd be like, I'll say this not for everybody, give me some time.
How long?
I mean? I probably wouldn't want to be bedridden for years, but a couple months maybe.
Give me a chance.
Six months.
I'll be like, first 3 months, I'll be in a deep comatose regeneration. And the next three, I'll come out after that. You'll start feeling me.
I wouldn't want to just give up right away. You know?
Well, I've been married for 35 years, and it's like, I don't trust my wife.
I was going to say, this is actually something you can get into when you write your own living will. This is called a limited, like, will, where you can say, if I am unconscious for X amount of time, you may intubate me or you may not intubate me. You may let me go or you may try to keep me alive as long as possible. And that's something that everybody, every single person in this room, I don't care how old you are, should be thinking about now. Because you get in a car accident, that's something they're going to want to know, because otherwise your loved ones are stuck being that choice for you.
I don't want to go too long, so I'll just ask Ian one more question. Maybe you guys can answer. The reason I bring that story up is, a lot of people try to make the argument that babies can't feel pain or there's no brain activity, thus they're not alive, thus it's fine. And there's a lot of questions about human beings in certain positions where you'd probably want to live. And that baby wants to live. One thing that's indicative to almost all life is the desire to continue living.
Yes.
So just being like, for no reason at all, we're going to kill this. But that's why I bring up that scenario. So people, you know, you can think about that. And you know, maybe we're wrong. But let me ask you, Ian, if you got into a car accident and you were suffering from locked-in syndrome, and you could only move your eyes, and the doctor says, by Jove, he's alive in there. Look up and down for yes and left and right for no. And you could. And they're like, wow. And then the doctor says, Mr. Crossland, Elon Musk has entered the room. And Elon goes, Ian, I know you can't give me complex answers, but I have Neuralink right here. I'm going to put it in your brain to interface you with computers so you can continue to experience a whole new life. Look up and down for yes, left and right for no. Would you accept the Neuralink?
I want to tell him to give me 6 weeks to think about it. How do I do that?
You can't.
There's no comeback later signal?
He's got, in order to communicate, you got to get hooked up to the Neuralink.
Oh, geez, how bad is it? Would I be able to tell? You think they can tell from their bed, from their comatose state, how bad it is?
No.
How their injuries are?
No. They're saying you're never going to recover. And all you can do is
neural net at that point. I'd be one of the guinea pigs, I think.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
And then what happens is
he puts you in a far worse situation.
Yeah.
He just finds your, right. your personal hell and he places you there and then no. Elon Musk.
It's all, like Morpheus he giving you the red pill.
He, as soon as you're hooked up after 16 hours of surgery, he leans over you in the bed and he goes, Ian, I've successfully performed the procedure. And then all of a sudden, you feel yourself sitting up, and Elon's got a wristband, and he's swiping, and then you get up, and you start doing the Charleston, and you're thinking to yourself, no!
Oh, God.
But would you guys Neuralink, hook up to the brain interface if you were in a coma or something?
Oh, yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'd have to think about that. I'd have to know more about, what the Neuralink is. I'm also curious to see what any theologians have to say about it.
You can't ask those questions.
No, I know. Well, I can't answer that question right now. I mean, I don't know.
And the answer would be no.
That's
you
what
have
I'm
one
saying.
Chance to
before,
say yes.
Before I can answer that question, I would need to, I feel like there's more I would need to know before I could give a competent answer, and I'm not in that place, so I can't tell you what I would say. I have no clue.
Sounds like we need to do more shows on the neural net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd probably do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd give it a chance,
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've restored partial mobility to paralyzed people by putting electrodes in their spine.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, probably. And it's not so much about me. It's about, I give the science a chance. If I can give something to humanity in my death, they can give an opportunity.
What about you?
I like right to try. Trump passed that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Lydia?
I was going to say, as someone who has... definitely has a wheelchair at some point in my future because my brain is telling my body that it doesn't want to do the things that it's supposed to do via my nerves. I'm pretty sure that if Neuralink came out and was able to help people who are paralyzed or otherwise immobilized and whose brains refuse to do what they're supposed to do, I would probably say yes, just because I don't have any other options. It's not like cancer. You don't survive it. You're not a hero. You're just something you fucking live with for the rest of your life, and you eventually decompose till you're like a walking zombie. I've seen it happen. So thinking about Neuralink is especially interesting to me because I'm like, what if they could make it so that you could live a truly normal life with something like multiple sclerosis or Parkinson's, and then you were able to go on. And you didn't become Elon Musk's tool like Tim was talking about, but you were able to do normal functional things. I think that's great.
How amazing would it be if, it's the year 2027, Elon Musk is going on the Joe Rogan Experience, and he's sitting in the chair, and you're sitting next to him, and Joe's like, Elon, who's this guy? And he's like, oh, this is my personal valet. He's got locked-in syndrome, but we plugged a program into his brain, and now I can control his body.
This
he
is
can't
me.
Communicate, but he gets stuff for me.
That's great.
And then he, swipes, and you go, hey, Joe.
Well, at least you could still roll your eyes.
Your eyes are going crazy.
But he couldn't roll a 20.
But he couldn't roll a 20. All right. Let's not go too long.
We have time for one more story about Gosnell.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, please.
This is my favorite story about what happened on Gosnell. We were shooting the movie, and there was one part that I couldn't find. I hadn't been able to find an actress that suited this part. It was the part of a woman who had gone to Gosnell to get an abortion, and then she had... changed her mind. After she'd gotten home, she felt the baby kick. Mm-hmm. And she called up and she said, I'm not going to have the abortion. And he said, it's too late. I've already put the sticks inside you, whatever, to stretch you out so that we can get the baby out. And she says, I'm not coming back. And she went to a hospital, had the procedure reversed, and she had the baby. And at the end of the movie, this woman comes up and she has a little 4-year-old girl.
Oh.
And she thanks the DA for prosecuting. Well, anyway, I'm looking
it's
for
beautiful.
This part. I can't find this part. And I'm sitting in a Waffle House because I love Waffle House. And there's a waitress there who's going around apologizing to everybody for their food being late or whatever. And I keep looking at this woman and I'm like, she's perfect for that part. And so finally I go up to her and I say, look, I'm not a serial killer. I'm actually a big time director and I am making a movie. I know that sounds like a line, but have you ever acted before? And she said, no. And I said, would you consider doing this part? And she said, well, I guess. And I went back and got the script. I brought it to her. We sat there in the Waffle House. She read the lines and I said, well, would you, I think you can do this part. It's only 3 or 4 lines, but it's a very powerful part. she said, well, I don't know. How much does it pay? And I said, well, it's probably going to be 3 days work and you'll probably make about $700 a day. And she says, okay. And so, you know, she had her whole family follow her to the set the first day just to make sure that I wasn't, you know, some crazy person. And we shoot the scene and she was great. She was really good. Had this really beautiful look about her. She had like
What was her name?
Her name was Tessa Franklin was her name. And, after we'd done like the second day, she came to me and she said, you know, this happened to me. I go, what are you talking about? And she said, I went to have an abortion and I changed my mind after I saw the ultrasound.
Wow.
Wow.
And I was just like, you know, I got chills. I was like, wow, this is divine. You know, this is
I think it's
the hand of God here.
Yeah. I think it's so funny that the left is afraid of the laws that say you got to get an ultrasound because they know what's going
to
happen when
the more information you have, the less likely you are to choose abortion.
That's right, and that's why they have to keep suppressing that, and that's why they can't watch the movie. That's why they never would even review Gosnell.
I never heard of his name until today. Yeah. I didn't even know I'd never heard anything about this until today, until like 3 hours ago. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
No, oh, it's society.
The reason I ask is I'm looking at the cast, and I was wondering if she'd come up in the cast list or anything like that.
She should, I can't remember. I can't remember the character's name, but her name is Tessa with a Y in it. Tessya Franklin.
When you were telling the story, I was like, and then I thought you were going to be like, and it was Jennifer Aniston. Or you tell us some really famous person, but I think yours is better. And it's also like, it's not really about what we look like. You could see more than her looks. Like, you felt her energy or her.
It really, in looking back on it, it was just like, I just kept seeing her and going, she's perfect for this. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's not a coincidence. You know,
that's for sure.
I don't believe it's a coincidence.
Do you believe in coincidence?
I don't think it is either.
Yeah.
Do you think coincidence is real?
I don't. Not really. I mean, that's you know.
Oh, what do you think?
I believe in divine.
I'm into this
providence. Yeah.
I got to tell you, watching that comedian mock COVID, getting the vaccines, and then blaspheme, falling down and hitting her head.
I've been into like the electric universe. It's another kind of an alternate theory on the universe that it's all magnetic. And like, so if that's the case, I really believe that divinity is like a magnetic force.
But what if it's not magnetic? Well, I guess I'm curious what the magnetism.
I think the
magnetism
all I want to say is I think the universe is incredible regardless of what we find at rock bottom with respect to the substance of it.
All right. You guys should do a conversation.
We should. And,
It's been a blast. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
And thanks for being members, everybody. Thanks for making all this possible. We'll see you all next time.